From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman, in for Brian Mackey. Nearly 29,000 people are currently incarcerated in Illinois' prison system. That's down significantly from a peak of almost 50,000 more than a decade ago. But being imprisoned, or even just getting arrested, can follow someone for decades after the experience is over. That can cause problems when people look for jobs or for a place to live. And the consequences can be vast, because more than 3 million Illinoisans have old arrest or conviction records. There have been efforts to change that in the General Assembly, namely legislation that would seal nonviolent criminal records, making them inaccessible to the general public. That bill stalled in the latest legislative session, but advocates for formerly incarcerated people across the state are still working to lessen the stigma those communities face. The organization Fully Free Blono recently launched in Bloomington Normal as part of those efforts, and I'm joined now by three of its members to learn more. Toy Beasley has been working on Fully Free Blono and other regional groups as regional coordinator for the Illinois Coalition to End Permanent Punishments. Toy, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us are Fully Free Blono members Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. Shayla, Candace, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Listeners, you can join the conversation throughout this part of the show by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. What do you think of the push to seal nonviolent arrest and conviction records? Have you been incarcerated or arrested yourself, or do you know someone in that situation? How has that affected them? That number again, 800-222-9455. Toy, let's start with you. Talk about how a conviction, or even an arrest that doesn't lead to a charge or conviction, can stick with someone long after the incident has occurred.
So when a person commits a crime, they get arrested, whether they get out on probation or parole, it sticks with them the rest of their life. And so a lot of people that's involved in the system, they're told that their record will be clean after 7 years. That's not necessarily true. Their record will stay with them the rest of their life. And so that's why we pushing policy change like Clean Slate to help advocate to make life easier for a person long after their sentence.
And Shayla, I wonder if you can help us dive into some specifics about how the experience of being arrested or in prison can affect a person's life and also the lives of people around them.
So I'm actually somebody who has had a parent who was incarcerated. I was about like 17 when that happened. And there was just a lot of like judgment and blaming. So as a kid, like I didn't commit that crime, but like I still lived with the punishment. There was a lot of shame, especially with like media and the way that it like overtook like our lives. So that's something that has followed me since then. I had my own bouts of incarceration and being justice impacted because, you know, I also have like substance use and mental health challenges and all of those barriers have, you know, I've lost jobs. Housing has been harder to obtain. And then also just like when you have a label that's put on you by society, it sticks with you, and when it's said so many different times, you start to believe it, unfortunately. So it's a lot of like learning that you're not your worst moments.
Thanks for sharing that experience. And Candace, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what brings you into this work.
I am also an individual who's been justice impacted. I was in and out of the juvenile prison system in the Department of Corrections from the age of 12 until the age of 18, finally aging out. And, just to kind of piggyback off some of the things that Shayla mentioned, we have kind of a responsibility as a society to change that narrative, because you're within your own families, and not just the outside world. There's a negative connotation surrounding being justice impacted. So no matter how minor sometimes or how major the crime could have been, you can be looked at in your inner circles as, someone who's incapable or will never change and being treated differently, which can lead to more mental health issues, depression, isolation, anxiety, and things of that nature.
And Toy, I'd love to hear more about your experience as well and what leads you into the work that you do with not just Fully Free Blono, but the Illinois Coalition to End Permanent Punishments.
So, like Shayla and Candace spoke earlier, I'm too a person that has been impacted by the criminal justice system. And prior to working with the Illinois Coalition to End Permanent Punishment, I worked in direct service after incarceration for 20 years. And so I got involved in this work because I knew that with me being impacted by the criminal justice system and my experience, I can help change the narrative and help push for policy change. And so, I left direct service after I got incarcerated. Did work for direct service 20 years because I knew that I can be an advocate for that. And so this work means a lot to me. And so that's one of the reasons why we started the Fully Free Blono is because we not only did we want to push policy change, but we want to educate the community. And I truly believe the more we educate the community, the more community get involved and help us push some of the initiatives. And so, and we're not just talking about people, we're not just talking about people that been impacted by the criminal justice system want to get involved in this work. We're talking about people in the business community that can help us make the change too by
Absolutely. And I
having a
want to
voice.
definitely take some time to get into all that on our show today. I want to read a message we got in our texting group, which, by the way, listeners, you can join by texting the word talk, TALK, to 217-803-0730. Brandy in Urbana wrote to us to say, "My mom has a criminal record from 20 plus years ago when she was suffering from drug addiction, and that record still haunts her to this day. She's not able to get a job in fields that would be meaningful to her, like healthcare, because of her record. And especially as she's gotten older and has suffered physical disabilities, her prospects for work are slim." And Brandy goes on to say, "Her mom's past crimes don't define her, but they do limit her still more than 20 years later." Toy, how common are experiences like that, which Brandy shared with us?
Oh, it happens all the time. And so that's why we want to help push policy change. And the Clean Slate bill that's currently in the Senate will currently help solve a lot of those issues that his mother is going through. So if she follows under that criteria, her record will be automatically sealed if from her past if this bill passed. So it happens all the time. I get calls all the time about it. When I'm out in the community, people are talking about, old records that is affecting them. So it's a big issue. And so that's why we need to continue to push our voice and let our voice need to be heard, like the gentleman on this call was speaking on behalf of his mother.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking right now about life after incarceration, the challenges that people face, what people are up against, how some of them are dealing with those issues. And we're talking about this with three members of the new group, Fully Free Blono, which serves formerly incarcerated people in that part of the state. With us are organizer Toy Beasley, as well as members Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. And you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455 is the number to join us today. I'd like to get more into that legislation you mentioned, Toy, in a bit, but first I want to give you all a chance to talk about your organization, Fully Free Blono. So, Candace, can you tell us a little bit about the group? What are you all about?
Yeah, so the first, like the most important piece is to start up, is stemming from a grassroots movement. Our priority is to let individuals in our community understand their power, their ability to make systemic change, and create a powerful network that pushes for record-sealing reform, but it is specifically geared around leadership development, because not only does this stem from justice impaction, but we want them to know that if there's any changes that we need to make just here in Blono, across Illinois, and in other counties, they should feel empowered. All members and associates should feel empowered to do so. So a lot of our trainings and conversations start with that power building.
And Shayla, can you elaborate on what Candace and both and also Toy have nodded to, which is sort of this idea about the importance of making connections within the community beyond people who are formerly incarcerated, but with the broader community? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So that is, you know, something that we aim to do. I think a lot of times people, when, you know, we have this idea, we get around like-minded people and we're like, yes, you know, this is great. That's a great idea. But we really want to hear from all perspectives, and we really want to network and hear other people's stories, you know, hear where they've come from, because, you know, we all have a unique lived experience that is extremely powerful, and it, you know, invokes hope in other people. And we also, you know, we as an organization with like the Fully Free Blono, you know, like it is stemming out to our legislators, it's stemming out to the police officers, it's stemming out to the correctional officers, you know, it's stemming out to like everyday business people, even if you haven't been justice impacted, right? Maybe you know somebody, because it's very likely that you do. They maybe just haven't shared it with you yet. But that's how we build power, by like networking and, you know, just coming together. I think so many times we're, you know, pushing people that have either like an ideal that doesn't go with us or whatever, we push them away. But as a society, I think if we just come together, we really can figure out a way to end this permanent punishment and fight for a future where there are not lifelong consequences, and, you know, like removing those barriers, and, you know, we can grow and change as a society. So,
yeah. So we've mentioned barriers to housing, barriers to jobs, barriers to education even. And Toy, you talked about creating partnerships with business owners. Is the idea sort of that creating education around this issue can lead to more employment opportunities for people who have been formerly justice involved?
Absolutely. So one of our goals with the Fully Free Blono is to reach out to employees, but especially our local chamber of commerce. And so having those positive conversations, let people know that, you know, people that came home from prison, they're not bad people. They're just people that had a past, you know, dealt with trauma in the past and trying to move on. So I think a lot of our businesses, employers, don't understand the magnitude behind what people go through before incarceration. So if some of our employers, and I'm not just talking about your warehouse jobs, your restaurant jobs. I'm talking about the banking industry, the insurance industry, the technology industry, to let them know that, hey, our people are qualified to work in this industry. They just got caught up and need a second chance.
It sounds like there's a lot of addressing the stigma associated with incarceration that you all are trying to do. And I wonder if part of that involves just people getting to know other people who have that experience, hearing their stories, and like you kind of nodded to, Toy, hearing their full story, not just the thing about the thing that led them into prison, but understanding their full background, maybe their past trauma, and maybe creating some empathy around that, lessening the stigma. Is that kind of at least part of the idea of what you all are going for?
Absolutely. You know, it shouldn't be the punishment after the punishment. You know, you get punished when you go to prison. Then when you come home, you get punished because you can't find gainful employment or housing. So, you know, like I said, we're trying to change that stigma, not being punished after the punishment.
All right. We need to take a break on the program. But when we come back, we'll have more on life after incarceration and some of the changes people would like to see to lessen the stigma, to help people who've completed their sentences get back on their feet and plugged into their communities. The number to join us today is 800-222-9455. If you'd like to share your thoughts, you can give us a call. I mentioned that legislation that would seal nonviolent criminal records, and we'll get into more of that after a break. But some of you wrote in to share your thoughts on that in our texting group. We heard from Lloyd in Danville, who said, "Sadly, I know countless individuals who are affected by this type of legislation. Criminalizing people is just plain wrong. Once time is served, people need to be able to get a fresh start." We'll dig in more on this issue with our guest, Toy Beasley, who organized the group Fully Free Blono, and two of that group's members, Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. This is The 21st Show, 800-222-9455. We'll be on this topic for another 15 minutes or so if you'd like to call in and join the conversation. Stay with us. It's The 21st Show. I'm Christine Herman. We're talking about the challenges people with old arrest or conviction records can face years or even decades later, and some of the things being done in Illinois to change that. We're talking about this with three members of the group Fully Free Blono, which connects formerly incarcerated people in the Bloomington Normal area with the community. With us are organizer Toy Beasley and members Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. And again, the number to join our conversation, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Toy, you mentioned earlier about this legislation that the General Assembly has been looking at. I understand this is the third year they've considered legislation that would seal nonviolent criminal records. And it passed in the House, but not in the Senate in the most recent legislative session. And it's modeled after what are known as clean slate laws, passed in 12 both red and blue states, kind of suggesting that this type of issue can get bipartisan support. Tell us more about why you support this legislation and what exactly it would accomplish for people that, you know, is currently not available.
So previously, years ago, there used to be only four felonies that was eligible to be sealed. Then it went to nine to be sealed. Now with this new clean slate bill, which if it passes in Illinois, it would be the 13th state. Now it went from four to nine to four that are not eligible. So with this new clean slate bill, there's only four felonies that are not eligible for this clean slate bill. And that is people with any sex cases, domestic violence, domestic battery, animal cruelty, and DUI. So those are the only four cases that are not eligible for this new legislation, clean slate. And so with this clean slate bill, it would open up opportunities for people to work in those industries that I've talked about before, the banking industry, the insurance industry, the technology industry, you know, and then it would open up opportunities for people to get housing that couldn't get housing in the past with this piece of legislation that hopefully will pass in veto session by the Senate coming up this year.
And when we talk about sealing nonviolent criminal records, is this the same as expungement? And is it correct that there are opportunities for certain people who are eligible to apply for expungement, but this would make it automatic? Is my understanding correct there?
Absolutely. So right now they have the expungement sealment process, which you have to see an attorney, go through the circuit clerk process, then you have to see a judge, and it's up to the judge whether your record gets sealed or not. But ultimately, it's the cost. So right now, if a person, you know, want to get their record sealed, they have to pay anywhere from $50,000 to $7,000. It depends on, you know, how many cases you got and what counties they're at. And so plus, too, if they went through that process, it's very lengthy. So it could take anywhere from 6 months to 3 years to get your record sealed expunged through this old process. And with this new clean slate bill, it will be automatic.
Candace, what difference would it make to have records sealed for a person who is eligible, who is formerly incarcerated?
This piece, it makes all the difference in the world because from experience, I know that there's so many individuals that one, don't know the process, know if they're eligible for the process, don't have access to the resources, if any, in their county to support them during the process prior to this bill. And so that leads to almost thousands of people who don't get their records sealed. And then that decreases our economy and the workforce and so many other things that filter out into how it affects our community. So with this happening automatically, it just means that those doors open up without you having to search or sign up and pay for resources and assistance. It makes a very big difference. And there's so many things outside of housing and employment that you don't have access to that are less commonly known, like babysitting. If you try to use a public babysitting site, of course they're checking your record, but as the person who needs the service, you can also get denied due to a record. So a lot of things can change. That are beneficial to individuals like us and others with this bill passing.
And I also understand that legal access to legal resources and support varies throughout the state. Like perhaps there might be organizations or entities that can support people in certain parts of the state, but if you're in a different place that doesn't have those resources, that can create additional barriers in addition to those financial costs you mentioned, which are not insignificant. Shayla, are there any additional thoughts you'd like to add to the conversation around record sealing and expungement? And the difference it would make to make this an automated process?
Yes. So, honestly, just the way that the justice system is now, like it functions, like it's not meant to really like rehabilitate or forgive. It like controls, labels, and like permanently punishes, right? So, as somebody who is honestly going, is trying to go through the process right now, of sealing and expunging my record. There are so many different barriers that have come up, like you need a certain form and you need this. And then, one of my charges is right outside the county line or like outside of the counties that this organization helps with. So I'm gonna have to go through the process again with somebody else. And like right now, it's actually holding up employment for me. And it's really discouraging, like you have to go through all of these hoops just to get a job that like you interview for and they tell you that you're perfect for, but because of your background, everything is on hold. So, having something that, automatically clears up your record, I think will give people hope, that to stay on the right path, because there's a lot of people who, oh, it's all of this work, like I'm not going to be able to do it anyway, and then they go back. So it's more like a revolving door instead of having real access to opportunity, right? Like that's why there's the recidivism rate and all these things, because like if we don't have something in place that gives hope and like lets people know that this is attainable, it's really discouraging. So I don't know. I really do think that the clean slate is going to help remove the outdated like bureaucratic barriers that keep people locked out of life, and it'll help restore some dignity and hope to people. So.
The Clean Slate bill passed the House 81-28. I believe this was back in June, with five Republicans joining Democrats in support of the measure. And this is according to reporting from Capital News, Illinois. I know one of the concerns that was brought up by some Republicans was costs about long-term funding and oversight, and this idea that if they automate the process, it would push it into local governments to figure out how to fund the process of automatic renewals. Toy, What are your thoughts on the legislation, you know, and why it didn't pass through the General Assembly, at least for now? And what kinds of conversations or what kind of message are you hoping to send to lawmakers who are concerned about things like long-term funding and oversight down the road?
Absolutely. So right now, the cost is no cost right now. The cost is being litigated right now. So as of right now, there's no cost because it's still being litigated. But it did not pass the Senate because of these funding issues. It didn't pass the House because they ran out of time. So session ended. And so when I talked earlier that we hope to get it passed in veto session, we hopefully do. But what I wanted to say to everybody is that contact your senator and let your senator know how important this bill is and how it can help not only myself, but other people that may be on the show day or outside in the community that can help pass this bill. So our goal now, between now and veto session, is to continue to be boots on the ground and contact our senators, let them know how important this is to pass this piece of legislation. And yes, it did pass bipartisan support in the House. And so we're hoping the same thing and on the Senate side in veto session, and to have bipartisan support too.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking right now with three members of a new group in Bloomington Normal advocating for formerly incarcerated people, connecting them with resources and with each other, and aiming to help lessen the stigma that people with old arrest or conviction records can face. And that includes advocating for legislation, as we've been discussing, that would seal or expunge nonviolent criminal records. We got a text. This one comes from Terry in Batavia, who says, "I have mixed feelings. After a person has served their time, they should be able to move, work, and live freely. However, as a former recruiting manager, I wouldn't hire a person with a prior embezzlement conviction into an accounting position. So I have to say, I agree with the idea in part." You can still join our conversation. We've got about just 5 more minutes on this topic. 800-222-9455. Our guests are Toy Beasley and members Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. Toy, what else can you think of, do you think can or should change at the legal level to help people reenter society after incarceration, perhaps, you know, beyond this expungement issue? Or do you feel like this is the big thing that needs to happen and it would really solve a lot of problems?
So like I was saying, through the years, there was only 4 felonies that were eligible to get sealed, and it went to 9. And now it went to just 4 that's not eligible. So this clean slate will be the best opportunity for people to get an opportunity. And I think Shayla talked about it earlier, you know, and Candace talked about people not having the resources. So people that live in rural areas, you know, that want to get their record sealed, they don't have those resources in that area. And then they don't have to, you know, go through all that traveling, that living in a rural area, which it costs for that. So the clean slate bill is the only option. It has passed in other states, and other states have had good reports from it passing and people able to get gainful employment. And then, like Candace said earlier, you know, it'd bring revenue to our community to help people. And then too, also, this will help reduce recidivism if this bill is passed.
I want to take a couple of minutes that we have left to talk about something all of you have brought up in different ways throughout our conversation. That's about the stigma. And Candace, I wonder if you can talk about, you know, the societal stigma around these convictions. And even if a person is able to get their records sealed, there's still also internet media coverage. I know one of you mentioned that. How does that all play into this and create barriers for people who are trying to reenter society? Candace, maybe you can go first, and then Shayla will have you share your thoughts as well.
Yeah, I think we just have to look at it in a holistic manner. As a whole, now that we have access to the internet and social media, we are so ready to kind of demonize people in certain situations when we only hear a part of the story, whether it be on the news, on a quick TikTok, or word of mouth from somebody else posting something. We never really get down to the why, the what, or the reasons behind these situations. So to kind of lead to your question, it's something that we have to work on together that we have to really think critically about. What if we find out if something is sealed, but you already know that this individual had a record prior to that, or it was accessible, it was in the news, because obviously we can't take that back if it's a wide covered story. We have to understand the trauma behind it, the mental health behind it. And that's not to make excuses, but it's to say that people can change. And if we adjust our legal system and our judicial system to be proactive instead of reactive, and really offering real chances at repairing those traumas and issues, then we can, again, like we said, reduce the recidivism rate and really support people where they're at with their needs.
And Shayla, is there anything you'd like to add to what Candace just shared?
Yes, actually, I have a few things really
quick. Go for it.
So one of the things, it goes along with like the stigma. And so it was actually like in reference to the text that had come in. And like, I definitely understand whenever I like had heard like, you know, the embezzlement for banking, right? Wouldn't hire that. Like, I understand when you look at it at face value that that wouldn't make sense, right? But I really think that people aren't seeing who they are and not just where they've been. And also like having an understanding that the way that the justice system works when they charge somebody, like personally, I have something, it's called like aggravated identity theft. And in transparency, I took $100 off of my grandmother's account for which I was an authorized user when I was in active addiction, right? Like when you have those two extremes, but that's what I pled guilty to because of just everything that was going on. You know, I think if we looked at it as like a case by case and then just kind of seeing like giving an opportunity to be like, hey, so what happened here? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on? You know, like, and what have you done since then to become a better person? And honestly, like, even just with like the stigma today, you know, like there's so many things that are like a domino effect, right? Like for myself, you know, personally going through, you know, trying to see my children again and going through the custody and stuff. Like I recently had a shopping trip where I went shopping, I spent money. I was never stopped by anybody, but I get something in the mail that I need to come in for a retail theft. And it was all based off of my past that had happened 3 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And then people in my life have used that to, fit their narrative and like, oh, she's still doing wrong, right? Even though I was just found not guilty for it. So there's things that people don't put in to context. They just look at a face value of, oh, this is the charge, this is it, they're a terrible person, right? So I think if we come together and we share our stories, you know, and we just share the real things of what's happened in our life and why they happened, and we really see the people for who they truly are and not just their worst moments, I think we can start to break down that stigma. So
I'd like to thank my guests from Fully Free Blono for joining us today, for sharing your experiences, your stories with us. We really appreciate it. We've been talking with organizer Toy Beasley and members Shayla Woodworth and Candace Bird. Thank you so much for joining us on the 21st Show. This is the 21st. We'll be back after a short break, checking in with the Quad City Zoo. Stay with us.